Blog Talk Radio.
I can keep on hiding, but I can't reach the surface. Everybody's living different, I just can't compare. Too much left to bottle, took another shot of pushing up, but I can't find a way to know.
It happens every month, I don't really ask for much. I just need to, I just need to, I just need to touch. While I'm in this hole, I don't wanna watch it go.
No, I don't wanna watch it, I don't wanna watch it. They just tell me
why I feel so stuck in my body's jumping. I can't change, no, I won't do it for no one. Driving, see you passing by, I just think that I deserve some change.
Hello and welcome to Debate Wednesday. I'm your host, Jim Breyer, the King. Today I'm going to debate the hottest topics in sports today. So if you want to call into the show, number to the show is 516-418-5906. Again, 516-418-5906. We broadcast live exclusively on Blog Talk Radio almost each and every Wednesday. And afterwards, the broadcast is later posted to YouTube. Very well a day later, so go check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/user/sportskimtv. Also, you can listen to the show via Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, and iTunes, so go check us out on all those platforms as well. You can follow us on social media at sportskimtv, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram. Just posted the link to this show on Facebook and Twitter, so go follow us today for all the latest updates. So with that, I'm going to get started with the New York Mets. The New York Mets recently had signed Carlos Correa. They were in a verbal agreement on a deal which would have sent Carlos Correa to the New York Mets, but all because his physical came out wrong. The Mets evaluated his physical and things just turned out wrong. The Mets had tried to backtrack and restructure Carlos Correa's contract, but all because of the fact that his physical went wrong. They backtracked, tried to restructure his contract, and it was from there on, Carlos Correa signed with the Minnesota Twins. He had signed back with the Minnesota Twins, the team that he played with a year ago. And it comes as a shocker considering that the Mets had said that Carlos Correa was going to put, quote-unquote, them over the top. As Steve Cohen said, the New York Mets owner, he felt Carlos Correa was going to come into New York as a strong building piece of their foundation, but he's signed with the Minnesota Twins now. I think the Twins are again possibly one of the best players from this free agent class. Yeah, he didn't have a really good season last year, but you never know with Trey Turner being under the bright lights of Philadelphia next year. Trey Turner, very much used to his teammates complimenting him. If Kyle Schwarber can get going again next year, Nick Castellanos can turn around, and most of all, Bryce Harper can stay healthy, I think the Phillies have a good shot, especially Trey Turner being one of the best free agents from this free agent class. But if we are to consider Carlos Correa, former World Series winner, has been close to win MVPs multiple times in the past. He can very well have a nice career in Minnesota, along with Byron Buxton and some others. They just lost Miguel Sano, so they're in a bit of a rut right now. But they do, in fact, have some prospects coming up very soon, like Royce Lewis. So be on the watch out for the Minnesota Twins. I think it's very well possible they can go far with building pieces such as Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton. But if you were to ask me, are the Mets in trouble? I think they're not in trouble. All due to the fact that they have probably one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball right now. They just re-signed Edwin Diaz, Adam Ottavino, and others. They brought back Brandon Nimmo, and I think this team can only get stronger from here on out, especially with Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer playing against one another again, trying to outdo one another and bring a championship to the Mets for the first time since the 80s. So I think the Mets aren't in trouble, even though Cohen said that the Carlos Correa deal would put him over the top. I think that's just that. His salary was way over the top, in my opinion. The salary that the Mets offered to him, plus the years on that, the mileage on that contract. And no, they could certainly explore the market next year. I think the Mets could have very well gone too carried away this offseason, but it may be a blessing in disguise, this physical failing and the contract talks falling apart. According to MLB reports, Carlos Correa has signed for less money and less years with the Minnesota Twins, so it's very well possible the Mets could have kept him, but obviously both parties couldn't come to an agreement, so no, I think it works out for both parties. Indeed, I think the Mets are just obviously going to have a better season out of guys like Starling Marte and Francisco Lindor. Marte missed some time last year, and Lindor, on the other hand, he didn't play up to expectations, so. As long as these guys can compete and match up with other rivals in the division, such as the Phillies, Atlanta Braves, I have no doubt it's possible the Mets can make a run at the World Series possibly next year. We'll, in fact, have on Pat Regazza. We had him previously on Sports Cam before. He'll come on again very soon. Spring training's around the corner, so he'll come on very soon to talk about the New York Mets at preview of their season. So I had mentioned the best bullpen. Which MLB team has the best bullpen currently? I said the Mets have probably one of the best bullpens, but I wouldn't necessarily favor them over the Houston Astros bullpen. I mean, the Houston's getting back most of their bullpen next year with Ryan Presley leading the way. Yeah, Ryan may be a little up there in age 34, but I think he still has it. I think Rafael Montero still has it. Some of these guys, even Hector Neris, I mean, a guy I solely rooted for back in Philadelphia, but he obviously had setbacks, went to a contender like Houston, and has been doing pretty well so far for them. So the Houston Astros, they have the best – they had the best ERA last year in Major League Baseball. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they were to have another great season, all thanks to their pitching depth in particular. I think their rotation's even loaded with Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, what season he had last year for the Houston Astros, and other guys. I don't think they're going to be sorely missed by Justin Verlander leaving. I think better things are to come for Houston. I did mention the World Series. The Phillies, their opponent from last year in the World Series, the Phillies just acquired Gregory Soto from the Detroit Tigers. And my thoughts right away on that is that he's a two-time All-Star. He's put in some good work the past couple of years in Detroit now, and may see Philadelphia as a good calling card for him. I think the Phillies definitely improved their bullpen with Gregory Soto. David Robinson no longer there. He's now a New York Met. I think the Phillies just had to get their minds off of Robinson, considering his injury history, his past history with injuries. And Jose Alvarado, Sir Anthony Dominguez, I think Dominguez, he's arguably the best pitcher in their bullpen. I think despite acquiring Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony can step in, possibly be that closer for years to come. So the Mets have their hands working and all dandy with the Philadelphia Phillies. They just got out to compete with one another and hope they can play better bullpen baseball than the Houston Astros. Who should win the WWE Royal Rumble? Well, I'm getting excited for the WWE Royal Rumble coming up the end of this January as usual. And despite reports, WWE has sold their company to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia being known for events like the greatest Royal Rumble ever, or Crown Jewel. They're in the news that they may have very well bought WWE, but aside from all that right now, people are not talking about the upcoming Royal Rumble, which is supposed to happen the end of January. Again, I'm excited about it as usual every year. And so you take a look at the list of guys that the WWE has right now. They have stars like Cody Rhodes, Gunther, and others. Sometimes they bring back The Rock. I mean, people are talking about The Rock when the Royal Rumble. The last time The Rock won the Royal Rumble was back in 2000 when he defeated The Big Show. And so I think the ending of the Royal Rumble should come down to this. I think it should be the Usos in the final four, along with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And I like to see Sami Zayn win the Royal Rumble, if you ask me. But if I were to say who else should win the Royal Rumble, I think it's definitely Cody Rhodes. It'd be nice to see Cody Rhodes possibly go out for a world title shot. After everything he's done at AEW, he has proved, even in Ring of Honor, that he is absolutely worthy of winning and being a world champion in WWE. I mean, I guess he may have to still prove himself in WWE, but with the switcheroo of things lately in WWE, I wouldn't be so shocked if we were to see Cody Rhodes win. Or even Gunther. I mean, maybe people say it would be far too soon for Gunther to win, but I mean, just let this guy shine. Rain on this guy, and I think he can be a tremendous world champion. He's arguably one of WWE's best talent right now, and don't foresee his Intercontinental title reign ending anytime soon just yet. Maybe at WrestleMania, who knows. But if I were to say who else should win the WWE World Rumble, I'd like to see Gunther get a chance sometime this year or next year, depending on what WWE wants to do and win the Royal Rumble. Who should the Bears draft with the number one overall pick? Well, the Bears GM recently said that he has to be blown away by a quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They're amongst the top rated quarterbacks on the board. And so if I were to be the Bears, I want to just evaluate someone based off their pro day. No, I mean, look at the Jets last year. Or the year before, Zach Wilson had such a tremendous pro day, but yet no one really knew how he would handle the rigors of the NFL, especially New York. And he had a really good pro day. He impressed many by escaping the pocket and being able to throw deep downfield. And it was unfortunate how things came about this year in New York. I think it may very well be a blessing in disguise that the Jets move forward without Zach Wilson and maybe take a quarterback in the next year's draft, maybe move up. I mean, they have some assets. They have some draft picks. They can definitely unfold. Who knows what happens? I said Jalen Carter would be the top-rated player on my board. And by the way, we'll get to Georgia in just a second, Georgia football in just a second. But I don't know. If the Bears don't want to draft a quarterback number one overall, I feel it may be safe if they do, in fact, trade down and go with a better option. But there's some guys worthy of that number one overall pick. I'm not too sure Bryce Young and or C.J. Stroud is worth that number one overall pick. Really, C.J. Stroud, he's almost, in my opinion, on the level of Justin Fields. He can't really run like Justin Fields, but he can be a solid quarterback at best. I had knocked Justin Fields on Pro Football Game Day, and all for the right reasons. Former Ohio State quarterback and if the Chicago Bears were to draft another Ohio State quarterback, you know, I'm not too high on many of the Ohio State quarterbacks that have come out of Ohio, and I don't quite remember the last time a really good quarterback was taken out of Ohio State. So, I'm kind of low on Ohio State quarterbacks, but if you're asking about Alabama quarterbacks such as Bryce Young went into his freshman season impressively stunned a lot of people way too soon by winning the Heisman Award, but Bryce Young declaring for the NFL draft, he's got a figure. He's an underclassman going into all this. Well, underclassman, but you take what the number one overall pick. I'm not too sure about that, but I would definitely say for sure, Bryce Young is definitely a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud and has a chance to go number one overall. I think the Bears, despite a 3-13 record with Justin Fields, could, or 3-14. I think they had a tie this season, but if they're moving forward with Justin Fields, I think it wouldn't be so bad of an option. I don't think they should give up on Justin Fields possibly all too soon, considering that he was close to breaking Michael Vick's rushing record and being a solid quarterback at best. Bears have a lot of leverage here and could stand to add on defense, but I'd say that the Bears should trade their number one overall pick. If you were to ask me, they could get a lot back in return and try to add on some depth. So I think that's what the Bears should do with the number one overall pick. Call into the show by dialing 516-418-5906. We're about to head into overtime here, and hope you all tune in for the live feed. Enjoy the live feed almost each and every Wednesday. I'm your host, Jim Bradley King. You can find me on Twitter at JBroSK. You can also find SportsKim on Twitter at SportsKimTV, as well as Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, all at SportsKimTV. So a couple more topics here. Is Georgia unstoppable? Well, I do think Georgia is unstoppable. They recently won against TCU by a final score of 65-7, hugest margin ever in national championship history. And even though Georgia is going to lose Stetson Bennett, they do, in fact, have Carson Beck, who is a pro-style quarterback, very familiar with what Kirby Smart and Georgia's offensive coordinator has in mind. They also have a high star recruit in Vandegrift, who is a mobile quarterback, could stand to freshen things up a little bit with his style of play, but I do think Georgia is unstoppable. Really, I think this is only the beginning of a dynasty, as I mentioned before on our last Debate Wednesday. You can check out Debate Wednesday 2023 NCAA or CFB National Championship Preview Georgia versus TCU show. There I had basically debate on who would win between TCU and Georgia, as well as talk other topics. So go check out one of our other latest debate Wednesdays. But no, Georgia, they're going to be losing Stenson Bennett definitively. Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter. I mean, and even McConkie. McConkie had a really good game for in the national championship. Felt his stock definitely rose in the NFL draft. And so, even with McIntosh, they brought back that same unit again and won back-to-back national championships. Now they're going to have a whole entirely different team on offense. Considering they're also losing their center, who's rated the number three center in the NFL draft. They lost a lot of talent on defense last year. They lose a lot of talent, mostly on offense this particular year. So I could see Georgia being unstoppable based off some of their underclassmen, their top-rated recruiting classes once again, and the confidence that players have come upon with Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart has just been outstanding ever since he arrived at Georgia, and I think he's going to make the right choices and have Georgia win many more championships to come. And finally, what could happen with Jake Paul and the PFL? Well, that stands for Professional Fighters League. And Don, their owner, has done a tremendous job in leading this MMA organization. They've been broadcast on ESPN. I've watched some fights of PFL, and no, it's called Professional Fighters League for a reason. I mean, and you know, Don Ross, he even said that. Hang on 1 second. Something just popped up here. Okay. Just want to make sure. It's actually Don Davis, not Don Ross, that Don Davis, he said that he's wanted to professionalize the sport of MMA, and when you look at Dan White, he's not really a professional, and I feel with Don Davis, he's with his capital, so to speak, he's a venture capitalist, gigillionaire. He has the money, backing, and support to definitely possibly lead PFL into a very bright future. Would I say so soon that I can surpass UFC? No, it doesn't match up to the production, marketability, and talent UFC has. But Jake Paul recently signed with the PFL, I think they're on to some really good things. Jake Paul, one of the highest paid fighters in the world, I think it's definitely going to bring in some revenue into the sport and make it more interesting. Will he adapt so soon? I don't think so. I think he's going to need to make some adjustments. It's going to be, I don't know how much practice he's put in time with, with MMA specialist, but he's going to have to put in some work and time to hone his craft and become an all-around MMA fighter. Jake Paul is was previously a boxer and just fighting often celebrity matchups with guys, especially from the MMA world, such as Ben Askren, who people are saying should fight Jake Paul next. And then, Anderson Silva, and now the reports that Nate Diaz might come to PFL and fight Jake Paul. Is Jake Paul ready for that kind of fight? Yeah, Nate Diaz is definitely not the same Nate Diaz he was in his prime years, but he did put in an impressive performance last time he fought, but I still feel Jake Paul, he's not ready for Nate Diaz. He's just going to have to throw out a little bit slow, although it may very well be demanding. You know, with the PFL, they run tournaments, unlike UFC, so it's much more professionalized than and less demanded by the fans. I mean, less demand by the fans. It's much more demanding in UFC. So that's why I bring it up. I think over time, if PFL becomes very successful, they're going to have to eventually buy into the demand fans ask for and possibly become a year-round promotion that everyone will watch. So I think they have a bright future, not only PFL, but Jake Paul, as Jake is only his mid-20s, I think he could stand to improve and become a champion PFL one day. Who knows, maybe we'll join UFC one day, like luckily odds are that's very well possible, depending on the money output. And so just trying to find a studio here. See if we don't have much time left. So I'm going to end it here, guys. I want to thank you for listening to Sports Kingdom. I've been your host, Jim Bradley King. Make sure to find me on Twitter at JBrawlSK. Go along, tweet at me. Tell me what you think about today's show. And so I'm going to tweet at SportsCan TV as well. We'll give you a retweet or a holler back or whatever. And enjoy the sports, man. Enjoy sports, and I'll talk to you guys again. As this has been another episode of Debate Wednesday. Thank you, guys, and peace out.